Okay, the 2 through 5 year olds, have they been dismissed yet? Did anybody? Okay. If you, Andrew, you're older than five. Okay, 2 through 5 year olds, you go with Miss Colleen. She'll take good care of you. All right. Well, I got some questions to ask you tonight. What have we been talking about? Nothing, apparently. All right. There's a question. Can we get that up? Okay. Let me know when it works, okay? Is it on? No. But Isaac, you'll be the man. You'll let me know, right? Okay. Okay. So that'll be our secret, just between you and me. Nobody else will know that you're giving me the signal. And okay, thank you. The question is why I need the Bible, okay? And can anybody remember any answers? What was the first one? What's the first reason why we need the Bible? Okay, what was the second one? You give me the first one? I'm sorry, give me. To know about God, that's half of it. What's the first half? Because I'm a sinner and I need to know about God, okay? Well, something's happening up there, all right? Good. What was the second reason? It was the one I gave right after the first one? Okay. My wife knows all the answers. She's peeking in her notes. Oh, you know what? I think I know why it's not working. I think I forgot to plug it into my computer. Now that I see Andrew, that has a VGA connection on it. Yeah, that is kind of funny. That would probably make quite a difference once he plugs that in. I'm a real techie, I'll tell you folks. Oh, boy. All right. Well, my time is gone, but it's been... All right. Why I need the Bible, and there's a picture of my Bible, and that is an actual picture of my actual Bible, okay? But of course, I'm not the only one who needs the Bible, all right? Everybody else does too. We gave the first reason, that is because I am a sinner and I need to know God. And remember I put my selfie up there, a picture of me as a sinner, all right? There I am. But can anybody remember how I revised the story of that picture? What's the other option this picture represents? When? Mr. Dale, when? Ah, when somebody hits a wrong note on the piano. Okay, but he's just like that. Okay, but anyway. So I'm a sinner, and here's what the Bible does for me. I don't like it very much. But it shows me when I'm wrong. I don't like to know that I'm wrong, but the truth is, if I don't know that I'm wrong, I can't get right. Okay. So it's like when I go to the dentist and he says, "You have a cavity." I'd rather he didn't tell me that. Okay. But if I don't ever face the fact that I have a cavity, it's not going to be fixed. Okay. So sin is kind of like that. And if you let it go and don't get it fixed, it gets worse. The Bible not only tells me when I'm wrong, but it shows me how I can get right. So it can fix what's wrong with me in the sin department. A wonderful verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, once I get right, then the Bible helps me to stay right. It helps me to keep from sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And then we also said that without the Bible, I would make up my own God. in the story of Quatre that Mrs. Brubaker has been telling. We didn't see this picture tonight, but we did the last two Wednesday nights, of this big stone idol. It had a mouth and ears and eyes, and it couldn't speak, it couldn't see, it couldn't hear. Those people made their own God with their hands. But even if we don't make our own God with our hands, we make up God in our minds. Or some people, whatever people think is the most important thing in life, that's their God. Some people have made money their God. Some have made pleasure their God. Some have made popularity their God. And there's always people saying things like, well, I don't believe in a God who would do such and such, but I believe God is this way. They're making up their own God in their own minds because they don't look to the Bible to see what God really is like. He has told us in the Bible what he's like. So, if I didn't have a Bible, I'd make up my own God. And I would be wrong. Okay? Now, we still haven't got the second reason. Mrs. Surrett, do you have the answer? The second reason why I need the Bible, you better get this right. Because I am, you could have read it on the screen, right? Because I am naturally in darkness. And I need direction. And Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, what does that mean? I have decisions that I've got to make in life. And I need direction. I need wisdom. I need decisions. Okay? All right? And here are some of the kinds of decisions I need to make. What convictions am I going to live by? What's right and what's wrong for me to do? I need the Bible to tell me those things. What vocation to enter. Now, the Bible doesn't say that I should be a plumber, but it gives me some principles that will help me know whether that's what God wants me to do or not. There's some things I definitely should not do that the Bible's clear about, but whatever I do, it should be for the glory of God. Whom to marry. Now, understand, I've already made that decision 52 years ago. That wasn't when I made the decision, but that's when I sealed the deal, okay? And you know, the Bible gives us direction, principles to follow in making these big decisions of life, whom to marry and what friends to choose and hang around with, because we're so greatly affected by the people we associate with. And the Bible gives us some great principles there. And what goals I should follow. What should I really strive for in my life? The Bible will give me some wonderful goals to follow in life. In fact, it's wrong for me to depend upon my own understanding. God told me in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall turn the flashlight on, okay? He shall direct thy path. Okay, well, I'll give you a B for tonight, and that's generous, okay? That's 50% shouldn't be a B, but anyway, I'll give you a B because I don't want you to flunk out of family fun night, you know? All right, but there's a third reason why I need the Bible, and that's this, because I have an influence on other people who will spend eternity somewhere. Now, the truth is, every one of us has a circle of influence. You say, well, I'm not a deacon in the church. Well, maybe not. That doesn't mean you don't have influence. Kids influence other kids. Adults influence other adults and kids. And by the way, the kids influence adults more than we like to admit sometimes, you know. But just as we hang around people, we're going to have some influence on them, and these are all people who are going to spend eternity somewhere. You know, it's not enough just for me to be concerned about where I will spend eternity. According to the Bible, it's important that I care about where other people will spend eternity. And there are people that I will have influence on in some way. So, I need to show unsaved people how to be saved. Romans 10:13. Who can quote that verse for me? Need a volunteer? Raise your hand, please, and quote Romans 10:13. Yes, ma'am. I love that word, whosoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might make it. Is that what the verse says? No. Shall be saved. Now, would that whosoever include a 5-year-old boy? Would it include a 90-year-old lady? Would it include everybody in between? Would it include everybody on every other side? Whosoever is a pretty big word, not just big to spell, but it's big in meaning. It covers everybody. And there are no exceptions to this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, that's a promise, be saved. Now, when I was 6 years old, I did that. When I was 6 years old, I had never been in jail. I wasn't a wife beater. I had never robbed a bank, but I sure was a sinner. I knew how to get mad at my brother. I could do that in a hurry, you know. I knew how to be selfish. I knew how to tell lies. Nobody had to teach me how to tell lies. I was a sinner and lost, and I knew that Jesus had died on the cross for my sins, and that I just needed to believe in him and ask him to come into my heart and save me. And I did that, and I was saved when I was 6 years old. Now I'm way over 6 years old, okay? I've been saved for 10 or 11 years already. And in fact, I've probably been saved longer than most of you have lived, okay? All right? But I am just as saved now as I was when I was 6 years old and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And I was just as saved then as I am now, and I will always be just as saved, okay? It's certain, it's forever. I never did deserve it. I never will deserve it. I was never good enough to be saved, and I never will make myself good enough to be saved. And neither will anybody else. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know, that was not only true of me as a little boy, it's true of everybody that I meet, that they need to sometime in their life make that same decision I did to accept Jesus Christ and allow his blood to cover our sins and give us forgiveness. I have a responsibility, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But verse 17 of that same chapter says, anybody know that? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People need the Bible in order to be saved. The Bible is the instrument of our salvation. Peter said that you're redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. James said, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. You say, which is it that saves you, the blood of Jesus or the Bible? Well, it's in the Bible you hear about the blood of Jesus, okay? If it were not for the Bible, we wouldn't know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. and people need to hear the Bible. So I have to influence unsaved people so I can show them how they can be saved. They need to know, because they're going to spend eternity somewhere just like I am, and they could go to heaven just like I can if they would believe the same Bible salvation that I accepted when I was just 6 years old. You know, you can do it at 16 or 26 or 36 or 46 or anything above or beyond or below those numbers. As long as you make a conscious choice to trust Christ as your Savior, and that's what everybody needs to hear. And I have an opportunity to influence people in that way. Well, not only do I need to influence unsaved people and help them to get saved, but I also need to help Christians grow in grace. Can anybody quote for me 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2? I see a volunteer. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 starts with, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You know, it's really wonderful to see all these new babies that are being born around this place. It's something about this church, the babies just happen amazingly. And those babies need, every single one of them needs the same thing. They need milk to grow. And the Bible is the milk for baby Christians. You know, when you get saved, you need to desire the Bible. That gives you spiritual nourishment to help you grow. You know, some baby Christians don't grow because they don't take in the milk of the Bible like they should. And the amazing thing about the Bible, it's not only the milk, the simple things for baby Christians, but it's also the meat for people who have been saved a long time, and they grow some spiritual teeth, so to speak, and they could want to go beyond the milk stage and have meat. And the Bible provides that as well. It helps us to grow no matter how long we've been saved, whether it's weeks or decades, okay? The Bible is our source of nourishment. And I can help other Christians grow if I know the Bible, and I can help them and show them how to grow as they should. But there's another way that I can influence people, and that's this. I should model the Christian life for others. I need, by my life, to show people that the Christian life really does work for real flesh and blood people. Can somebody quote for me 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12? Who would be my volunteer for that? 1 Timothy 4, 12. Let no... Who wants to finish it? Let no man... We're going to do it one word at a time all the way through. Let no man despise thy youth, but what should you do instead of that? Be thou an example of the believers. You know, it doesn't just say, pastor, you should be an example to the believers. Now, the pastor should be an example, but the Bible doesn't just say that the pastor should be an example. It doesn't just say, deacons, you should be an example to the believers. They should be, but it doesn't just say deacons or pastors or Sunday school teachers. It says you, Christian. You know, it's amazing how many people get upset with God because other Christians aren't as good a Christian as they should be. And they say, well, if that's the way those people are, I'm not going to have anything to do with God. Now, wait a minute. When you see other people who aren't what they ought to be, your response should not be to get mad at God. your response should be, I am going to show other people how a Christian should live. Because God told me to be an example. There's an awful lot of people looking for an example, but what we really ought to look for is to be an example. And Paul told Titus the same thing. He said, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Instead of looking around and saying, other people aren't being the good examples for me, and therefore I have an excuse to not be a good Christian. We should instead think this way. There are people who need to see what a real Christian is like, and I'm going to be the one. I'm not going to brag about it. I'm not going to be proud. I'm not going to think I'm better than anybody else. But I am going to try to show people how they should live by my life. You know, some people just don't get the idea that a real life person would want to be faithful in church and would want to read the Bible and pray and tithe and tell others about Christ and live a life that's clean and pure. There are a lot of people who know the Bible says all of that, but they haven't seen people live it. And you know, it's a real encouragement if they can see somebody who's willing to be an example. I need the Bible because I am supposed to be an example to others. And without the Bible telling me how I should live, I could not be an example for other people. Every one of you will influence other people. There's somebody who looks at you and their ideas about God and about eternity and about life are affected by what they see in you and the attitude that you have. When we think about that, I think we need to realize that God will hold us accountable for how we influence other people. You know, you'll influence other people for good or for evil, but sometimes we influence people for evil just by not saying anything. Think about this. Suppose there's 100 people in the church, and you do something that is kind of questionable. If one person in the church says, I think that's wrong, you shouldn't do that, and the other 99 don't say a thing about it, you might think, well, that one person's a weirdo. But if 25 or 30 people came up and said, you know, you shouldn't do that, that's wrong, you might say, maybe it is wrong because a lot of people think so. But the thing is, you figure that the other 99 already agree with you because they don't speak out against it. Now, it doesn't mean they all agree with you, but it means a lot of them haven't been willing to use their influence to help you. And by not speaking to correct you, they have silently condoned something that's wrong, perhaps. Now, let's turn the situation around. Suppose you're not the one doing wrong. Maybe it's one of your friends. And you don't speak to tell them what God says about it in the Bible. You're like the 99 people that apparently condoned what happened by your silence. Does it mean we have to be policemen going around with a magnifying glass trying to find something wrong in people's lives? No, but the Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. The spirit of meekness, consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted, Galatians chapter 6. We have responsibility for the spiritual impact we have upon other people. And God is going to hold us accountable for that. Look at Romans chapter 14, and then we'll be through. Romans chapter 14. this is a chapter that deals with what we call doubtful things. And it gives us principles to make decisions about what's right and wrong in our lives. But notice what we find in verses 12 through 15. So then, some of us will give an account. Is that what it says? No. So then, most of us, still not right. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, with eating meat, now walkest thou not charitably. It's not loving to do that. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. You know, there's nothing wrong with eating meat. But he's using this as an example that you and I should be willing to restrict ourselves in whatever way will be help us to be a good influence on other people spiritually. We should not do anything that could contribute to somebody else having a bad attitude or sinning in some way. We should accept the responsibility. We don't live unto ourselves. We don't die unto ourselves. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to him. This is not my body. It's God's body. It's not my life. It's his life. I didn't make it. I don't sustain it. I didn't pay for it. It's all his. And instead of me saying, I can jolly well do whatever I please with myself, I need to realize that God is going to hold me accountable for the way I influence other people spiritually. I don't care if you're in the third grade, that's true. You'll have an impact on the attitudes of other third graders. I don't care if you're 80 years old, it's still true. We have an impact on how we influence other people, and we're accountable to God for that. I need the Bible to tell me how I can be the best possible influence I can be on other people. Let's bow for a word of prayer. And just before I pray, I'm going to ask if there's some of you who would like to be remembered in prayer. Maybe you'd be saying, Pastor Surratt, God has convicted me tonight about the way I have failed to accept my responsibility to be a godly influence on other people. Maybe it's that I have failed to have anything to do with pointing unsaved people to Christ. Or maybe it's I have failed to set a pattern to model a Christian life and help others grow in the Lord. I have just been so selfish. I haven't accepted my responsibility about how I influence other people. I wonder if there might be some of you who say, you know, God's convicted me about that tonight. I'm saved and I know that, but I want to confess this as a sin to God and get it right with him. Now, there's some who just lift a hand and I'll include you in prayer. If God has convicted you about that, and then I'll be through. God bless you. Thank you. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, how we need the Bible. Thank you that you've given it to us. It's so clear. It's so simple. But we have great responsibility for what it says. Help us to be faithful to you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.